Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 295th episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by the other two hosts of this fine podcast through a Google Plus Hangout.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
I mentioned that we use Google Plus. That allows us to live broadcast these recordings. And if you go to ivmv.com/live at 8:30 p.m. Central on Sunday evenings, then you can watch and listen to these recordings as we do them live. And there's also a chat to log into. Episode number 295, guys. We're marching to number 300.
I know. I can't wait to hear number 300 since I won't participate.
Well, no, you will. Hopefully. Yeah. Well, okay. So that episode will be recorded with Andy and I in Arizona for spring training. I'm hoping that the internet at the place we're staying will allow you to join us, Kurt. It says they have internet. Yeah, so, gee.
Well, of course they have it. It's probably like 1 megabit.
It's 50 hours for a free AOL.
So. Dial in. Maybe I can just call in.
Well, yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll get you on. I mean, yeah, definitely.
We can't have that episode without you.
No. Aww. If we have to go sit at a Starbucks, use their Wi-Fi.
That's sweet.
Why aren't these guys talking about the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, so Andy and I will be out there for a week, the 14th through the 20th. We'll be doing a meetup on March 19th at the Cubs-Diamondbacks night game. If you're going to be at spring training and you want to hang out for that, just buy the general admission lawn seats. We also have our bus trip. It's not till August, but it's over halfway sold. And if you would like to join us on a charter bus leaving from the Quad Cities, Moline, Illinois, specifically, and go up to a Cubs game on August 8th, you can get your tickets and more information at ivmv.com/bus. We have some people coming in from outside of the Midwest, and I'm helping them get stuff kind of figured out as far as travel details. So if you're outside of the area and you're thinking about doing the bus trip and you want to figure out how to make all of the travel details work, then shoot me an email, Corey@ivmv.com, and I can give you some tips and suggestions. One more thing here real quick. Our baseball card episode was postponed a few weeks ago because of a snowstorm. We moved it to this upcoming Saturday night. So this is kind of an off-topic episode, but we will talk about whatever Cubs news happens between now and then. And then we're going to pull out our baseball cards from the 80s and some probably from the 70s and have some fun with that. So if you're not doing anything Saturday night, say around, what do you think, guys, 8 p.m.? You think 8 p.m. Central? Then we'll probably turn the cameras on and we'll broadcast it live. So pour a pint and hang out with us.
American pint or British pint?
I didn't even know those were two different measurements.
There are, yeah.
You guys are clearly the beer connoisseurs.
I believe, isn't it called the Nonic pint in the UK?
That sounds pretty good to me, but yeah, pour the big one, you know, if you're going to pick one.
Right. If you haven't heard last week's episode yet, speaking of beer, I did ask Saad of Sharma about his beers. But if you haven't listened to it yet, I would suggest going back and listening to it. As I said, I interviewed Saad of Sharma and we covered a lot of Cubs topics. What did you guys think about what Saad of had to say?
I mean, it was, yeah, definitely insightful as always. And whenever you do interviews with, guys like Saad of or Harry Pav, it always makes me feel a bit dumb, but at the same time, enlightened by the conversation. So yeah, it was good to hear what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, and then also just some information that just some new information has come to light. You know, as Lebowski would say, and so I found those parts especially interesting. I mean, we were concerned about Javi and how he was playing in winter ball. And so it was interesting to hear what he had to say about that and his approach at the plate. And so.
Yeah. Kind of a nice explanation of what was leading to high strikeout or what was perhaps part of the cause of high strikeout rates in the winter league.
Right. So yeah, did it help us to pump the brakes on our concern a little bit?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting what he had to say about Edwin Jackson too. And I found myself over the last week kind of having less optimistic about Edwin Jackson and less optimistic that he's going to, you know, return to anything close to what the Cubs wanted him to be. And I don't know. It just seems like I think out of the three of us, I was the one that thought, you know, if he plays really well in the spring and it's not just like, oh, he's looking good against late in the game against double A caliber players, but actually did look good. Like I thought he might have a chance to work his way back into the rotation. But I don't know. After hearing what Sahad have said, it seems like he's lost it, and who knows if he'll ever get it back.
And he like we've kind of been saying too, it's, you know, it's pretty easy to, I think, in my opinion, to be sympathetic with Edwin because Sahad have pointed out, he's always owned up to it. He's never made excuses and he's just all around a good guy. But, you know, at the end of the day, the performance hasn't been there and it's really hard to recover from being essentially one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball. I mean, his loss record, if that's meaningful, his loss record is puts him at the very bottom of the list for the last 2 years.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, Sahadev did talk about his kind of his attitude and it seems like, you know, especially towards the second half of the season when, you know, there were some exciting moments with the Cubs, for example, I kind of am thinking back to, I think that night in St. Louis when Soler hit those two home runs, like Jackson was right there celebrating, you know, at the top of the dugout. And it seemed like he was still like he still is, you know, I guess those intangibles of being a good teammate and things like that. But I mean, it seemed like he still hadn't completely. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I guess just that he still had like a good attitude. And that's what made it especially kind of hard for me to stomach how fans treated him at Cubs convention this year. Oh,
man. Yeah.
And it was like, you know, sometimes people just lose it, you know, and it's not for a lack of effort. It's not like he got his paycheck and just mailed it in.
And, no, he still clearly takes pride in his work and wants to do well.
Right. Right. So I think that it just kind of
hear people boo him, you know, boo a guy who's trying to work hard and trying to be good. It's sucky.
Right. Yep. That sums it up. I didn't feel the need to go on. That's sucky.
Out of all the pantheon of adjectives I could have chosen.
Sucky.
I went with sucky. That is an expansive vocabulary right there.
Oh, man. All right. So before we get into spring training talk, we should probably touch on the renovation updates. Hey, guess what, guys? The Cubs are battling with the rooftops.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to go to court now. At least it seems to be that a couple of the rooftops have filed a temporary restraining order, which is interesting terminology because I think we all think restraining order, you know, domestic violence, that kind of thing. So it's interesting that that's what it's called. But the order is to attempt to stop the construction of the outfield signs.
The rickets are outside in the rain in a wife beater t-shirt.
Let's work it out,
Stella.
But yeah, the rooftops are contending, you know, that, you know, once those signs go up, that you basically can't go back to court then. So the restraining order is just put to pause that until this is worked out in the courts. We'll see what happens with that. But, you know, as we know, the Cubs have decided we're just going forward regardless of what, you know, the outcome would be is in litigation. And we texted back and forth early in the week about how the whole rooftop thing annoys the hell out of me. And I don't really sympathize with rooftops until recently. From a baseball standpoint, I really don't care. But from a business standpoint, I can understand how if you own one of those businesses and you're invested in it, I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars you're losing here. And you know, there's a, just a little bit of sympathy squeaking in there.
Well, I think
I don't want to put myself squarely on the side of the rooftops, but I definitely sympathize with the fact that, like, hey, hold on, like, we signed an agreement, which is a contract that you guys found a loophole, you guys being the Cubs, to exploit as far as the signs that you thought you could go with. But at the end of the day, when they signed that deal, whatever it was, that I guarantee both sides thought that signage wouldn't happen and that signage, you know, not blocking the view was just kind of part of the deal. So I guess I kind of understand how, why they're a little bit pissed.
I think what it comes down to is the only reason that you have any, I guess the only way that you can somewhat see where the rooftops are coming from, in my opinion. And again, we say over and over, we don't live in Chicago. We aren't familiar with the politics of the city and everything like that. But where, but that contract that they signed with the Cubs is, if it was not for that contract, I would say, who cares about right. those stupid rooftops? Right. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, without that contract, yeah, they're moochers, like we've kind right. of discussed. But I with am, the contract, they're legal. They're legal moochers.
I can, right, exactly. I cannot wait for the day when the Cubs own all of those and they just tear them all down. Like I am so over the rooftops. Like I liked the rooftops in the early to mid 80s where it was like dudes without a shirt up there with a barbecue, you know, mm-hmm. like not that I enjoy looking at dudes without shirts barbecuing, but
you but just it, enjoyed dudes without shirts barbecuing, catching Glenn Allen Hill home run
right,
balls.
Right. Right. But like in lawn chairs like that, that's kind of what, and it seems like a lot of Cubs fans still like have that mental image of what the rooftops embody. And that is not what the rooftops embody. And it's hard for me. I mean, I've never been at a rooftop on one, but it's just not, I don't know. I don't see it as like this, like, oh, it's just this neighborhood feel that I don't know. I don't understand really the, I'm just ready for them to be gone, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think everybody knows what the ultimate outcome will be. It's just
going to take
time. At
this
point, we're just arguing over dollars, not over...
And time. Yes. You know, I think the Cubs are trying to speed up what ultimately sure. they plan to do. And
yeah.
them buying certain rooftops and everything like that just is... yeah, it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
But it seems like we will be talking about this forever. I don't want to talk about these rooftops.
I think at the very least, in 2023, it's over. Right. We have that to look forward to. I think that's when the contract's over.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Do you remember in Back to the Future 2 when it showed them tearing down the rooftop buildings? I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Corey hates, just for the listeners, Corey hates it when anybody brings up Back to the Future 2.
See, now you said that, and so everybody's going to, like, tomorrow our Twitter stream is going to be full of freaking Back to the Future 2 stuff.
That's why I said it.
On the other hand, I love the movie. I think the movie's awesome. I'm just really tired of the, and no offense if you've sent us stuff about Back to the Future 2. It's just,
Corey hates you.
It's just the amount of, In such a short period of time, I just can't handle it anymore.
Love it.
Was the genesis of it the guy that talked about it at the?
You know, I think convention. That is it. I think it was that dude at Cubs convention that just put me over the top.
Because before that, you were just all right. Yeah, that's cool. Whatever. Yeah. But then there was a guy dressed up as Marty McFly at the Cubs convention,
carrying around a hoverboard.
Yeah, and that just ruined it.
Well, and the fact he was like trying to sell something on Mike. I don't even remember what the heck, a website or something.
And his ideas.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as everybody knows, I'm sure, pitchers and catchers report to spring training this week. The Cubs invited players last week, but we didn't go through the list because instead we had Sahadev Sharma on. I was kind of thinking about this. I wonder how these invites are delivered. Do you think there's like an official invitation that they get in the mail?
They get a Wonka bar and it has a golden ticket inside.
Do they have to like RSVP?
There's like clear vellum, you know, that transparent vellum over the top of the gold imprint.
A guy runs by in like a sweatsuit and says, you've been served, and like throws him a
The invitation says the year of our Lord.
Do they get it? Do they get to save the date like a week before that?
No, they don't.
Oh man. Okay. So yeah, the Cubs have invited 19 non-roster invitees to spring training, and the list is. It's a fun list, but it's just a list of who are going to be the guys in case of injuries, basically, to me, and then prospects also. But here's the list. I'll just go ahead and read through the names. We have in the outfield, we have Albert Almora, Adrian Chambers, and Mike Baxter. Infielders include Chris Bryant, Addison Russell, Chris Valleca, Pierce Johnson, Jonathan Herrera, and Logan Watkins, who was recently injured. Basically, like right after he showed up to Arizona, he sustained an Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. And so he's done for the season, which is that really is kind of heartbreaking when you start to dwell on it and think about it for a guy like him who is just starting to get sniff the big leagues, basically. So all the feels for him. I hope he comes out of that okay. But as far as catchers, we have Kyle Schwarber and Taylor Teagarden. And then pitchers include Daniel Bard, Armando Rivero, Corey Black, Francisco Lee Bueno, Anthony Carter, Hunter Cervenka, Jorge De Leon, and Don Roach. And so the number of invitees is actually smaller than last year. There were 25 invited last spring training. And I was thinking, well, yeah, we basically didn't see any of these guys, but then when I looked into it, we saw a ton of these guys last season. Of the 25 invited last spring training, 12 appeared in games for the Cubs, and many of those guys appeared fairly regularly. The list of guys last year, I mean, just check out this list of guys who were non-roster invitees last year. We had Kyle Hendricks, Brian Schlitter, Jokic, Wada, Coughlin, Kalish, Baker, Lopez, Whiteside, Baez, Valleca, and Bonifacio. And Bonifacio, what's that?
That's surprising. I just was surprised by Bonifacio.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah, he got a minor league deal, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And then he made the team but most of those other guys just came up as needed in the case of injury or just other when other needs needed to be filled. But so anyway, it's just going to be interesting to see. Like as far as the pitchers go, for example, the 40 roster seems really crowded, and so it's hard to see really any of these guys making the big league club. But you know we're going to see some of these guys once some injuries start happening or in other cases, I suppose. But but anyway, I think it's just really cool. I'm loving this list because not only because I will see some of them in person, but because it gives us a glimpse of several guys playing together who right. should be regulars, in 2016 and in the years to follow. And just the thought of watching games with Bryant, Schwarber, Russell, guys like that in the lineup is just gives me a case of the happy feels.
Just think about this. We always talk about, what are the Cubs going to do when they have all these shortstops up? Well, they're going to have all these infielders in spring training.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys to give a look to. I mean, I'm really looking forward to just watching and paying attention to following spring training and just seeing some of these guys get their chance. And so we're going to talk about some of the stories a little bit more on an upcoming episode, but
we'll talk about the storylines that we're most interested in. And I don't want to jump ahead to that discussion, but I think the player on that list of non-roster invitees that I'm most interested in is Addison Russell. Just because I haven't had the chance to see him play in person yet. So,
yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it'll be for me, Addison Russell, Albert Almora, Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber. A lot of these guys that, I haven't really had much of a chance to actually lay eyes on in a game situation. So,
yeah, I would imagine we'll see some, you know, Castro play the first inning or two, or a bat or two, and then Russell come in and play some short, and should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, heck yeah. As far as the pitchers, like, it'll be interesting to see, you know, like, if Daniel Bard is able to. I mean, the Cubs already gave him a chance last spring training. He couldn't really get it together, but it sounds like he was dealing with some other serious health issues at the time. So sounds like he's actually fully healthy for once. So he, you know, he could be a factor and perhaps a guy who could be an option, you know, to shore up the back of the bullpen. Armando Rivero is a Cuban pitcher who's awesome. So I would keep an eye on him, but, other than that, I mean, the list is largely, you know, the impact prospects that the Cubs have and then guys who are going to fill in case of injury.
Yeah. Well, and so kind of transitioning into your, you know, the Kurts of the world that aren't able to go to spring training.
Thanks for that.
But here's how you can watch them and listen to them. If you would like to listen to spring training games, you'll be able to hear pretty much every game on either WBBM or Cubs.com. If I remember correctly, spring training games aren't aired on the Cubs radio network. I don't think. Are they? Do you guys remember?
I think you're right. When, like, Len and Mick are working the game, I don't think that they're on.
So, well, Len and Mick would be the Cubs.com games.
Okay.
The WBBM broadcast will be Pat and Coombdog. But I don't think that the WBBM games, like, I don't think that spring training games are on the Cubs radio network, which are the affiliates around the Midwest that play Cubs games during the season. I don't believe that they're on there, but I could be wrong. And I guess if you would like to know, you can contact your local affiliate. So, you know, if that's the case and you live outside of WBBM's reach, which is slightly smaller than WGN Radio's reach is, your best bet is to buy MLB at Bat, which includes the radio broadcast for every game, the WBBM games and the Cubs.com games, every Cubs game, pretty much except for the split squads. Probably you won't get one of those. There are no blackouts on MLB at Bat, unlike MLB.tv. I've purchased this the last four or five seasons, and I'll say it is well worth the $20. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
I like it a lot because, first off, you can get the spring training games, and you can then play it through your phone rather than a radio. So, even if you live like where I do, I could pick up a local affiliate playing Cubs games on the radio. But, you know, if I'm working in the yard or something like that, I can easily just pop in earbuds and listen from my phone. Now, moving on to the TV broadcast schedule, it's a little more spotty. And I think this is when some Cubs fans will learn that there is a difference between WGN America and WGN 9. So spring training games, they start on March 5th, and the first televised game is on March 13th. And the good news for everyone is that's a night game, so that's pretty cool. It's on Comcast, CSN. The Cubs split squad will be playing the A's in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, Andy, you and I will miss that broadcast. We'll be on our way to Arizona, so that's kind of a bummer. Like, our first opportunity to see a televised game, we won't be able to. The next TV broadcast outside of Chicago will be that next Thursday night game against the Diamondbacks, the night of our meetup. So obviously that's why they decided to televise that. They heard about our meetup. And then thanks, Andy. Thanks for saving me there. So in total, Comcast will air 7 games this spring. WGN 9 will air 3 games. Now, again, those will not be available outside Chicago. Or the WGN 9 local viewing area. ESPN will air a Thursday, March 26th game against the Angels. And then Friday, March 20th, that game is against the White Sox. That'll be on Comcast with the Sox broadcasters. So you can watch that at your own risk.
Oh.
So Then if you have MLB.TV, you're going to have access to four more television broadcasts, but it will be the opponent's TV feed. And you can find all the details on the Cubs broadcast at Cubs.com. And then these other team broadcasts, it's March 10th against the Indians, March 14th against the Brewers, March 16th against the Padres, and March 31st against the Rangers. So obviously I just threw a whole bunch of dates and gibberish at you. Yeah, go to cubs.com. You can find it there. And it just, you know, every year these games are becoming more and more available. This is the most televised Cubs spring training games that we've ever seen. And I'm just looking forward to it. You know, I'm really looking for, I kind of like them playing out in Arizona. So the games start a little bit later so I can get in my car after work and turn on a Cubs game and listen the whole way home, where normally I have to, if the Cubs are playing at Wrigley in an afternoon game, I'm lucky to catch the last half inning or so. But I would suggest buying the MLB at Bat app.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So let's move on to some listener, questions. But before we do, if you enjoy our podcast and you shop on Amazon, if you go to our site, ivmv.com, and click on the Amazon link on the side of the page, it takes you to Amazon. Your shopping experience is the same as usual, and Amazon gives us a kickback for referring you. So we'll start off with a couple of emails that I've gotten in the last couple of weeks, and then we'll move on to Facebook and Twitter questions. And by the way, you can follow us there by going to ivmv.com/Facebook, and we are at IVMV on Twitter and also at IVMV Podcast on Instagram. So this first one is from Joe. He says, so I heard you guys talking about MLB.TV a few times on the podcast. I'm debating if I should get MLB.TV or just stick with my DirecTV extra innings package. Any opinions? So Kurt, this is your wheelhouse right here.
Yeah, we've emailed with him, but basically what I said is that there's so many variables, but if you fall into the category of you like to watch at home on your big screen and you don't like fiddling around with computers and streaming and technology, stick with the DirecTV package, pay the money, don't worry about it. But if you're kind of like, you know, you don't mind trying to figure stuff out with streaming and getting it connected.
Or if you live within the blackout region.
Right. If you, let's just say also, yeah, if you live outside the blackout area, even if you have MLB package on DirecTV, I think the MLB TV is worth it if you're like on the road a lot or something like that. Because the app is amazing. The streaming is awesome. There's so many good things going for it. I mean, without the blackout restrictions, MLB has a really great thing to sell with the streaming. If you do live inside the blackout area, you know, obviously it's more complex. If you're willing to sort of work around it, it could be worth it, but it is a pain in the ass.
Can I ask you something? I mean, you kind of talk about how it's a pain in the ass. What do you mean? I mean, because I'm thinking okay, about doing this, and like when you say that, you've always been kind of vague about it.
Well, okay. So,
if I can troubleshoot podcasting, can I figure this out?
What?
If I can podcast and troubleshoot the issues that I do with,
it's not about figuring it out. The actual, you know, mind power it takes to figure it out is not great. It's not that. It's the day which, you know, now the Cubs we think are going to be better. It's a day in late July and early August when a division matchup is coming on and you're really excited about the Cubs playing the Cardinals and you go to flip it on. It's not just pushing on the satellite box and the TV and boom, there's your Cubs game. It's that one day when you really need it to work is the one day your internet's going to be sketchy. And, you know, we've all had those days, even with fast internet here, which I get like, you know, 30 megabits a second, which is plenty fast enough to stream a game. But, you know, there's that one day when it just doesn't work and it drives you crazy. And that's kind of what.
So it's not like you're having to like troubleshoot, like dig into the settings and stuff like that.
Yes, there is that part of it. There is, because So I stream on a Roku device, and you have to go into the settings of the device. You have to create a new account, or at least the way I dodge the blackout. You have to change your DNS settings and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, I really don't know the legality of it. So don't, you know.
You didn't hear it here.
Yeah, I honestly don't even know. I mean, as far as I can tell, it's a breach of contract with the MLB package, but I don't see it as like against the law. It might be. Who knows? I don't know. But yeah, there's quite a bit of workaround to getting it to work if you're inside the blackout area. That's, if you're not used to that kind of stuff, don't even bother. If you can get it through a different venue means, then do it. But things are getting complex with the TV.
And if you do, if you do MLB.TV and you have issues, I am selling tech support with Kurt. Yeah. So you can make your.
It's gonna cost you. It is a pain. I mean, I guess I put myself into the category of like, I kind of almost appreciate the challenge of trying to figure technology stuff out. But you know, don't suggest it to your parents. Because, you know, they'll be calling you every other day. I can't see the Cubs game. What happened? That's my impression of my mother. Even though she would never call me to see a Cubs game.
But if she did, that's what she would sound
like. That's what she would say. Kurt, which button do I push to get the Cubs game?
All right. So, Joe, I hope we kind of answered your question, or anyone listening had a similar question. Let's see here. This next email is from Tyson, and he says, just started listening to the podcast and love it. I'm teaching English in Taiwan, and it helps me keep connected with the Cubs from afar. Anyway, I was wondering if you could do an interview with Tom Tango. I've read he's a consultant for the Cubs, and I know that sabermetricians love the guy but don't really understand why. If you can't secure an interview, maybe you could at least share what you and the guys know about Tom's role/impact with the Cubs. I wonder if player development processes or evaluation processes, etc., or even specific Cubs have benefited from his baseball intellect. Thanks for your work on the podcast, Tyson. Admittedly, I don't know a lot about Tom Tango. I know that he's kind of a mystery. Tom Tango is not his real name. I didn't mean to launch right into this. Did you guys want to say anything before I...
No, go ahead. No,
go for it.
Okay. Yeah, he's a sabermetrician. Probably one of the most influential. He developed the WOBA, weighted on base average, and FIP. And he's been employed with the Cubs, I think, since 2013, I think. So kind of on top of him being a mysterious character, the Cubs kind of like their guys to stay off the grid and out of the public eye. You'll probably remember Jason Parks disappearing once he was hired by the Cubs. Not disappearing physically, but disappearing from the social medias and stuff, the Twitters and all that. This front office seems to run a pretty tight ship when it comes to their stat and data analysis folks and their scouts. I think it's a very competitive business, and they probably like their people flying under the radar to give themselves advantages, whether it's in scouting or doing work with numbers or whatever behind the scenes. I don't know if he would be a really, I don't know how easy it would be to get an interview with him. And, honestly, somebody of his caliber intimidates me, if I can be honest.
Yeah, there's no questions you could ask that don't just feel like kind of elementary.
Right. And I mean, he has a blog that is really, it's interesting. Very short blog posts. And I would assume Tyson is probably aware of that, but I guess to answer your question, Tyson, do the Cubs benefit from his baseball intellect? I would say there's someone behind the scenes that is identifying these pieces that the Cubs are using to flip. It's not just Theo and Jed that have made some of these decisions that allow that have allowed the Cubs to take advantage of other teams and trades. And we'll probably never know exactly what people like Tom Tango or Jason Parks and all of the others that, you know, are, we won't know specifically what they're doing for the Cubs, but we're seeing a team that previous to this had a small old school front office. And now they are very forward thinking, a very forward thinking front office that is significantly larger in size in regards to staff. So I think it's hard to identify exactly what Tom Tango has done, but.
And if, and even if he doesn't contribute directly to the Cubs on the field, he's, they at least have taken him off the market to contribute to other teams.
Right.
You know, he's no longer a free agent. He works just for the Cubs. So.
Right. And I think I may be wrong. I know he has worked for teams in the past, but I think at different points he has, and I would assume a lot of these guys kind of are, not contract, but will kind of work for multiple teams, and he is working exclusively for the Cubs.
Right.
So I don't know. Anything else you guys wanted to add to that?
No, really. It's just, it is hard to sort of go into too much detail because, like you said, he's a bit of a mystery. Nobody knows who he really is, and apparently that's the way he wants it. So it would be probably really difficult to get a hold of him and get any comment from him.
And I would have no idea where to go with that interview. I mean, Andy Kerr, if you guys want to do this interview, you're more than welcome to.
So, ERA. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
How many RBIs do you think?
All right. So moving on to Facebook, we have a question here from Jamie. What are your thoughts on the pedestrianization of Norwich City Center?
Well, apparently there's a show called I'm Alan Partridge. And it's in the show, Steve Coogan plays a local radio DJ. And so there's a part in the show where he's having sex and he's asking his partner, like, what she thinks about the pedestrianization of Norwich City Center, stuff like that. So I think that's what he's referring to.
Well, but I was curious.
Did you just know that or did you Google it?
Yeah, no, I've watched the show. I'm a big fan. I actually Googled it.
Well, I Googled it too, because I was trying to figure out what he was talking about. I mean, obviously I knew that he was being funny, but I was a little bit curious. And so, I did watch a news report on the pedestrianization of Norwich City Center. And I'll just say, as someone who works with people with disabilities, I think that there's something that could be done with those advertisement A boards that are all over the place, because that's just a straight up hazard for, you know, folks that are blind. That's my take on it.
So it's either a reference to a show or it's legitimate.
In which case, we're covered on both accounts.
Yeah, we got both.
But I did like Steve Coogan in Hamlet 2.
Hamlet 2?
Yeah, there was a movie that came out called Hamlet 2.
All right, moving on. Both Jason from Facebook and Justin from Twitter would like to know what we're drinking.
You know, I can see a couple of Andy's empties. I think I might be drinking the same thing as Andy.
What? No way.
Well, it's the Sierra Nevada Beer Camp Hoppy Lager.
Oh man, yes, that is what I'm drinking.
It is. It's widely available now, and it's a good one. So
yeah, it's pretty good. I picked up
a few of those.
It has some sweetness to your typical. Oh. Hoppy pale ale.
Yeah, I like hoppy. I like hoppy, and I also like, I love lagers, and I think lagers are getting lost in the scene of big ales and IPAs, and
which
I
is why that. You drink so much Miller Lite.
That's exactly right. You get old refreshing pilsner.
But see, I'm mixing it up. I have a Dale's pale ale on deck also, which is surprisingly good for the can. I mean, look at that train wreck right there.
Horrible can. That's a big
I thought you were making an Adele joke.
In a well, yeah, I mean, that's embedded.
That can definitely is singing.
That's a deep cut there.
That is.
About 1% of our listeners will remember that.
Hit up the back catalog.
I'm drinking a Deschutes Jubilee Ale.
Mm. Still in the Christmas beers, huh?
You know what? I have not been drinking. I probably haven't drank on one of our episodes in like a month and a half, maybe even longer.
That's a problem.
Yeah. And so I just was like, yeah, I think I'm going to, people asked, I better have something to drink tonight. And so I dug into the refrigerator. I just really haven't been drinking beer lately. I've been drinking ginger ale and whiskey.
I thought it was like a health thing or like
been drinking, you know, water and ginger ale. No, I only drink beer, so I don't have that problem.
Man.
Same.
When you guys come out, we got to drink some ginger ale and whiskey. Oh, man, that is so good.
I'm not a whiskey fan myself.
You're going to love it. I'm telling you.
Oh, ginger whiskey. No,
ginger ale, I'm not a huge fan of either.
Yeah.
But
I don't like ginger ale or whiskey, but put them together, I'm sure I'll love it.
Put them together. It's a dynamite combination.
Ginger ale and whiskey. You are old.
It just sounds like heartburn waiting to happen. That's something an old person would say, isn't it?
It's something your grandchildren look at and think, what the hell? Like, my grandpa used to drink ginger ale and whiskey.
It's so good. It's really good.
Okay.
Or 7 and 7. Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
So good. All right. Clint says, I'm going to try to see my first game at Wrigley this year. In your opinion, would you rather watch the Cubs play a team that isn't very good with a better chance of winning, or like the Cardinals for the rivalry, but a harder chance at a win?
Man,
I'd go. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My take is either one, honestly. Like, I just relish the opportunity to get out to a game and, you know, hopefully there's a win. But I do enjoy the atmosphere of a rivalry game quite a bit. I just remember that time Corey and I saw the Cubs Cards from the bleachers, and that was a pretty cool atmosphere, I thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have the choice, I would choose rivalry game, regardless of, you know, challenge of winning or not, because, you know, the atmosphere, I think, is a little more,
yeah,
you know, it's a little more fun.
That's what I was
like, if playing, you know, the Astros, well, I guess maybe not the Astros anymore, but,
well,
you know, a bad team.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's that. I would agree with you, Kurt. I would go for a rivalry game. I think you want to go to a game with some excitement, and even if it's not a rival, like a in-division rival, then pick a game that will at least have some buzz. I've been to some interleague games that just don't have the same feeling. If I don't know, I went to I took my daughter to her first game, and it was Cubs Tigers, and Verlander was pitching, so that was cool when he was in his prime. But I don't know, it just felt weird. It felt weird. Well, another thing too about those like interleague games is I think that more if it's a team that does not play the Cubs at Wrigley very often, I think you'll have more opponent fans there. When we went to that game, I would say it was close to a 50-50 split between Cubs fans and Tigers fans, at least in our area. And I don't think that's really necessarily what you want to experience when you go to a Cubs game. So, no. I would suggest going to, yeah, Cubs Cardinals or Cubs Brewers, Cubs Reds, something like that. Justin says, thoughts on the possibility of shrinking the strike zone. Personally, I'm all for it, considering pitch effects grew the strike zone per that article I posted a while back. Y'all read that, right? Right. And to be honest, I could not find that article. Facebook sucks. I mean, when people, if you're listening and you post things to our Facebook wall, it could take me a week or two to notice it. Like, it just doesn't even like always tell me that there's something there. It's weird.
Yeah.
So
you actually have to go out of your way to find what other people post.
Yeah.
On the IVMV page.
Yeah. It's a pain.
It's like right now I'm looking at it and it's hard to, you have to scroll down about, pretty far and click on posts a page. So it's kind of hard to see.
And then it shows you like three at a time.
Right. So anyway, repost that if you would, cause I would love to read it. But my take on that is I don't really like the idea of shrinking it that much. I like the pitchers to, I don't know, I like what's been the kind of the trend in pitching lately. I like watching a well-pitched game where somebody's able to work all portions of the strike zone well, and I don't know. I'm kind of thinking as I speak, that's not always a good combination. What do you guys think?
Well, I'm one of those guys who, like, I guess I'm for more offense, but at the same time, you see a pitch that goes under the letters on a guy's chest where, like, I look back to Little League when basically the strike zone is like, nipples to knees, and you see a pitch that looks good and it's, it's called a ball. So to shrink the strike zone even further, at least initially, seems like, whoa, I know that seems kind of crazy, but at the same time.
See, I don't mind it because I think, if they're talking about moving up the bottom of the zone, and I'm kind of okay with that for a couple of reasons. The main one is, selfishly, the Cubs are a team that is built with hitting right now. The future of this team is in the bats. And I think that forcing pitchers to get the ball up in the zone on some of those power bats, and which would in turn cut down on weak contact, I think that's good. Because a lot of the... It seems like the strike zone has dropped and there's a lot going on like below the kneecaps. And that's not, if you want to, improve the offense, that's not, there's not going to be a lot of good contact down there. And so I think kind of like forcing the whole strike zone to come up some is probably a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I would agree with that. And I'm kind of right in the middle where it's, I'd love to. I don't think pitchers need any more advantage than they already have.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you though, Andy. And I think if the Cubs were a team that was built for the future with pitching, then I would be really opposed to this. But I think part of I don't see the need to necessarily shrink the strike zone, but almost just kind of like move it up some.
Yeah,
and leave that kind of across the letters, leave that. I mean, you don't want it to get too terribly high, but it almost seems like the strike zone has become the waist to below the kneecap.
Yep. Yeah, a belly button pitch could be called a ball, which is crazy to me.
Right. Josh says, at this stage of the process is in quotes, do you feel it'd be more beneficial for the Cubs to trade three top-tier prospects, excluding Bryant, Russell, and Soler for Hamels, in addition to absorbing his contract? Or should the Cubs wait until next offseason and spend over $100 million for a pending free agent starting pitcher, such as Price or Zimmerman? Although the Cubs would have to move prospects for Hamel, his contract is a bargain in today's market. Thoughts? Thoughts, question mark.
Well, I mean, what are they going to do with all these shortstops? Might as well send some of them over. I guess that's the next question. My vote is wait till next season, next off season, and go after a free agent. Yeah,
I guess I'd tend to agree with that, but I think he's under contract through 2018, I think, with a team option. Right. In 2019. So that, you still got a few years left. So it's not like you're trading for a rental. And I think he's right at what does he make? I think his contract's for like $23 million. That's a pretty good deal for a guy like Hamel. So I don't know. I think given where they sit right now with starting pitching, they don't need him they don't need that bargain right now. So I would agree with Andy to just wait till the next offseason, see how this year plays out, and then spend the money, because I don't think the money is a handcuff. You know, by next year, I think the Cubs are going to have plenty of money to spend.
Yeah, you know, I kind of disagree with you guys. It's not that I'm ready to see the Cubs trade off prospects. I think if they do it, I would trust in them who they trade. However, I know that Hamels is the one valuable piece that the Phillies hold, and they're not going to allow themselves to get taken advantage of. I guess what it boils down to is I think that the Cubs are in a great position, because with some financial flexibility and numerous prospects, at this point they can identify the player that they want and then do what they need to get that player. They're not Yep. stuck only looking at free agents because they don't have anything to trade, or it's not like they can only look at trades because they don't have the money to sign free agents. So that really kind of allows them to target the pitchers and the players that they want, not that they're kind of like forced to get. Price and Zimmerman are younger than Hamels. I prefer Price, but ignoring the contracts, because Price is going to get paid. Hamels' contract, like you said, Kurt, I think it's 23 or 25 million a year, you know, which is it's close to Lester money.
It's 23 and a half. I just looked.
Yeah. But David Price is going to get almost 20 million just in arbitration this year. That's a record.
Oh, holy crap.
So, and now he's got Boris for an agent, and they're looking for 200 million plus. So I think Hamels might be a better option.
Okay. But I'll let you finish.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think if you look at that, like if you're looking at Price or Zimmerman, I would take Price. That's who I would prefer. But if I'm looking at the contract that Price is going to get versus what would have to be paid to Hamels, then I think that Hamels might be a better option. Plus, I think it would be amazing to have a starting rotation with Hamel and Hamels.
I can't disagree with that.
That's hard to disagree with.
But what I would say is that, so I won't disagree with the fact that Hamels is the better deal money-wise, but when you start talking about, I mean, prospects are worth money as well, and so those prospects don't equate to dollars paid in a salary to a starting pitcher, but they are worth something. And so if you trade them away, you have to consider that part of Hamels' contract. And so it's pretty easy to say, well, you can't trade this guy and you can't trade this guy. So you can't trade Bryant, you can't trade Russell, you can't trade Soler. Well, guess what it's going to take to get Hamels? Like, the Phillies aren't stupid.
Right. I mean, you would have to have...
They signed a contract that is going to end up being good for them, because right now, $23.5 million that's a steal for Cole Hamels. And when he signed that deal, it was like, whoa, $23.5 million, that's a lot of money. So I don't know. I mean, I just don't think we can say that any of these elite prospects are off the table, because the first thing the Phillies are going to ask for, because you asked for the top, is, hey, which one of your elite prospects are you going to give us for him?
And Bias, I mean,
you
not
can't come out of this deal unscathed, you know?
Right.
So for me, I'd rather give up cash than potential.
Yeah. That's why we don't have to make these decisions.
Yeah. But I do agree
Tom
with
the Tango. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, but when you look at the deal though, Hamels at $23.5 million, that is a steal. Like, you can't argue with that.
Right.
But what's it going to take to get that?
Yeah. And I just don't feel comfortable with the Cubs giving Price 200 plus.
No, that's just, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and I think that, the way this front office has worked, I think they'd probably jump to the number two guys in next year's class, because it's a pretty deep free agent class.
Right. Yeah.
Go for the most expensive one.
Yep. Hogan says, what are we going to do with all these shortstops, brother? I don't know if you guys saw it on our Facebook page, but Jason from New Mexico, he took a picture at Hulk Hogan's beach shop, and he was wearing his IVMV shirt. Jason was wearing his IBM shirt, not Hulk.
Yeah.
To clarify. Ed says, are there any additional Cubs podcasts besides this one in Wrigleyville Nation I should check out? Looking for additional podcasts to listen to on my commute to and from work.
No, there are no others. Next question.
Well, to be honest, I don't know of any others, but how's this for a teaser? If you want more Cubs content, you may not need to add another podcast to your rotation. Little teaser.
You might have to trade prospects.
Sean says, what percentage do you place on a Cubs rookie winning the NL Rookie of the Year award in 2015? So it'd be Bryant and Soler would be the main two that will be eligible.
And I mean, those guys could get it done. You know?
Right, right. I would say pretty likely. I guess there's Noah Syndergaard with the Mets might be in there too, but I don't know. I would say that chances are pretty good. I think Bryant has to be
he's gotta be
the favorite. So if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say I'm going to say 65% chance.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
I would put him, I was going to say like 30, maybe 30, 40 if I had to put a number on it, which I think is still pretty high.
Yeah, I'd go a little bit lower than Corey, but still, I mean, the guy is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Tom says, do you guys do fantasy baseball?
Is that Tom Tango?
No. Could be. He might have another alias.
He's like, he just wants us to join his league so he can destroy us. Come join my league.
I know these guys are stuck.
No, I don't.
No,
it's overwhelming to me. Yeah. Just baseball, fantasy, I do fantasy football, but which seems easy to me, but fantasy baseball is just...
It's too much to keep up with.
Yeah. I do fantasy hockey, and that's a little bit too much, and they don't play every day, so... Yeah, I'm kind of no thank you on that at this point.
Yeah, it's too much for me. Chris says, how did Pliny the Elder hold up to the hype? And
I wish I knew.
I know. Next Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, we will answer that question, Chris.
Corey let the dog drink all of them last weekends ago. It's poured in the bowl.
The dog drank it at room temperature too.
They're still in the they're still in the blue Cubs convention bag they were delivered to me in by Rory.
I can't wait. It's gonna be, I mean, I can tell you right now, Chris, that it's gonna be amazing. I don't even have to drink it. I can already taste it.
It's gonna be right up there with my Heady Topper experience a few weeks ago.
Heady Topper?
It's just another highly celebrated beer, basically.
Yeah, Heady Topper.
Oh, excuse me. Whiskey and ginger ale is all I know.
I just want to know, is it Beechwood aged?
Oh, yeah. Have you guys seen that Budweiser commercial?
That commercial drives me crazy.
I know, right?
Bastards.
Yeah.
All right. Tom has another question here. Do you guys hate any specific Cub? Don't hold back.
Oh boy, it's like a totally new roster. I don't even know.
I know, like, I could answer this better, you know, 7 years ago.
Yeah, 2008. I'm all over this. Ramirez.
Yeah. Corey's former hatred, would it be Aramis?
I did not like Aramis Ramirez. I mean, I don't, looking back on it, there's no reason I shouldn't have liked him. I just didn't like him.
Boy. I say this is hard. I can't think of anything. I'm stuck.
I've always kind of hated most of the left-handed specialists that the Cubs have had. Like, are we supposed to say current? I mean, is this like just a current?
Let's do current. Let's do current and include prospects.
To hate a prospect.
See, now I just feel bad that I didn't like Aramis Ramirez very much.
That's okay.
You know what, though? I still don't.
At the time, I didn't love him either. I just didn't hate him.
Penis. Well, what about Aramis Ramirez?
I also didn't, you know, I would say, like a lot of Cubs fans, we didn't really care for Soriano for good stretches.
Yeah.
I used to really hate.
And then I softened on him, too.
I didn't like Valbuena. 2 years ago, Valbuena.
Right.
I did not like Valbuena till last year.
Oh, man. But if we want to get into, like, ultimate hatred of, like, older Cubs, man, freaking, like, Paul Bacco and...
and almost every backup catcher.
Right. I'm trying to think.
Although, Andy, yeah, you like the backup catcher sometimes.
Sometimes.
Coy I was Hill. Gonna say, Coy like, Hill has got to be...
Coy, yes.
Coy. I was going to say, like, I'm not a huge... Fudge, I can't think of the dude's name now.
you can't even say the guy
like Neil Kotz and Scott Ayer. And
I like Scott Ayer.
Well, because you have an affinity for guys that drive RVs, you know, that's why you're a big Madden fan. But who is the guy that was always tucking the chain back in?
Oh,
reliever.
Well, Farnsworth did that, right?
Yeah.
But you're thinking of
Bobby Howry.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Howry's I'd include him.
His work rate just drove me nuts. Super slow. He would be in trouble in the era of the
pitch clock.
Yeah. The pitch clock. What if the pitchers had to like punch like a chess clock like every time? Like a chess clock. It's just like on the back of the mound. They go over and they tap it, and then that starts their time.
I'm trying to think of like current Cubs I dislike greatly.
I'm scrolling through the 40-man roster, and like I can't really say any guys on this list that I could say I hate.
Right. Yeah. There's one prospect I don't care for, but I'm not going to mention him.
Anthony Rizzo is kind of a turd.
Seems like a dick.
He's so lazy.
No. Jason Mott. I mean, I can't like any former Cardinal.
Kristen Orfia. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, it's kind of nice that there aren't really any hate-worthy players. That, you know,
yet. Maybe later we'll hate them.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be players we don't like. But you know what? I mean, it's really been a while since. I mean, the Cubs have just had so many players that are just like, I don't really care one way or the other.
Some people would say Edwin.
I was just going to say one guy we talked about earlier. Like, if Edwin were more of a jerk,
right,
I could hate him. But, like, he's just not a jerk. And so it's hard to hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's a sign of like getting older too, is that you don't like hate baseball players. I don't know.
Remember the halcyon days of hating baseball players? Now I'm just worried about getting enough fiber.
I think that, although I think we might have done this last year on a scary stat, but like we all as a group have approached the point where there are. Maybe not yet. No, I'm sorry. Never mind. We still have the streak going. David Ross is still older than me, so I can...
Oh, there's nobody older than me, I'm sure.
77. March 1977.
Oh, man.
David Ross is 77?
Yeah. So we're in the final stretch of years where the Cubs players are all...
David Ross is just a few months older than me.
So this is your final season, Corey. I guarantee it. Of a player being older than you.
Well, you know what? Back to the Future Part 2 told me that the last season somebody my age was on the team, we were going to win it all. Moving on.
Go have yourself a whiskey and ginger ale to celebrate.
Mike, who is at Trekkie Bogle, I think is how you say it, on Twitter says, last time you had this much hope going into spring training.
Never.
I would answer that by saying, like, I don't necessarily have a lot of hope going into the spring training. I have more interest. I'm not hopeful about the Cubs this year. I'm interested.
Well, I guess in I'm not hopeful about this season particularly, but I'm certainly hopeful about, you know, the next few. I mean, my hope for 2016, you know, is kind of already here. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy, do you have an answer?
I'm excited to see some better baseball.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for a little bit better baseball.
Really setting the bar high. I'd like a little better baseball, please.
This is why we don't work on Wall Street.
And the last one here is from at Mr. Postman 24501. And Mr. Postman says, more likely Lester to get a hit or Baez to walk 50 times.
I think Baez walk 50 times.
Well, Steamer projects Baez to walk 33 times. That's a 6% walk rate.
I think it'll be a little bit higher than
that. But Lester's going to get
Lester's going to get a hit.
Like, we're talking about one hit, right?
Yeah.
No way.
You ready? Lester gets a hit in his first at bat.
No.
Yep.
No, he doesn't even like address the ball. He just stands there.
Yeah, get out of town with your prediction.
Steamer. All right. Go steam yourself. Yeah. No. I mean, I would take Lester getting a hit. That's going to happen.
No. Bias. 50 walks.
All right. So thanks to everybody that sent in questions and everything. We appreciate it. I do have an iTunes review to read here. So because I do, we're going to play a little Chuck Mangione Feel So Good. This one is from Josh S78DC. It's an iTunes review. And what Josh says is, what I like best is how accessible the podcast is while still getting into incredible depth on the Cubs. I'd say that's debatable, but thank you. Whether you are a casual fan or follow the Cubs 24/7, there's fresh, interesting perspectives on what's going on. I highly recommend this podcast. So thank you, Josh. You can rate and review our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and those reviews help us a lot because it makes our podcast more visible. And it helps us move up the rankings, and it will help other Cubs fans find us. And another way that you can help Cubs fans find out about our podcast is to tell your friends that are Cubs fans about us. If you enjoy us, they probably would too. And I think a lot of Cubs fans have taken the last few years off, and they're probably hearing some of the buzz around the team, and we can help get them up to speed with what's going on.
Yeah, we've been slinging this BS when they sucked.
That's right. That's right.
Since 08.
Slinging BS since 08.
That's our new tagline. We're going to make a t-shirt out of that.
And really, I just kind of want another excuse to play some Chuck Mangione. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've talked about it on here, but did it amaze you guys that Super Bowl commercial with the dude riding a Vespa that is the exact same color as my Vespa listening to Chuck Mangione?
I think the best part of it was that you were so proud of it. Like, the commercial was intended to basically make that guy, which is you, you know, seem like a total D-bag, but you were like, did you see that? That was amazing. This is the highlight of my life.
That is my color Vespa, and he's listening to Chuck, or they're playing Chuck Mangione.
I haven't been this happy since my daughters were born.
I think it's amazing that they, like, to symbolize, like, dorkiness, they played Chuck Mangione.
And if the guy weren't wearing a helmet, he would have red hair. I mean, the guy has red hair under that helmet. It is you.
Good stuff. All right, well, let's finish up this episode here with Internet Muscle Flexes. And what we do is we go to Cubs.com, perhaps the Cubs social media sites, and we just find instances of Cubs fans and maybe other fans flexing their internet muscles on Cubs players, other commenters, and anybody, really. Anybody and everybody. Kurt, do you have one tonight?
I do.
Oh, wow. We all three have one.
Yeah.
You can go ahead with yours.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this comes from an article about Cubs prospects, and that based on the avatar, this person is a Cardinals fan. And he, or she, says, you'd think the only topics available this offseason are Scherzer, Shields, and the Cubs. Give me a break from this narrow-minded, uniformly unimaginative, redundant diatribe. Thank goodness. Thank goodness these scribes will Ponce de Leon like discover the fountain of 27 other newsworthy teams next week. SMH. And then some of the I have to read a couple of responses too, because they're actually pretty good. and then so a Cubs fan later replies with, I'm sure we'll see a story on some Cardinal employee getting busted for a DUI. It's pretty much a tradition. And then the next guy says, don't tell me all this talk about Cubs improvements has even the unflappable Redbirds fan base that madly rattled that they need to come down from the mountaintop to talk smack to us lowly Cubs fans. That makes me think there might be something to all this hype now.
I love the Ponce de Leon so much. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's fun when some of the articles get posted that are posted probably on like MLB.com and not just Cubs.com.
Right.
You can tell because like there's a Yankees fan reply and there's like a Royals fan, you know, and so those are some of the best for these kind of
flexes. That's fertile ground for flexes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
Well, I have one. Mine's from the Cubs Instagram account. Which I was very entertained reading today, reading through the comments. And so I don't know if you guys heard, but Anthony Rizzo's on the cover of RBI Baseball 2015. So that's pretty cool. I think a lot of people view that as not being as cool of a baseball game as the show, but it's pretty sweet anyway. So at LMFAO Ben had this to say. First of all, he likes a great band that's really popular right now. He has this to say about it. That game is going to be as popular as the Cubs. Not popular at all.
Like what? I don't understand. Like, it's amazing sometimes, like in reading like the Instagram stuff, like how I don't understand why you're following the Cubs. Right. If like a lot of times it's like fans of other teams like bashing the Cubs. I can't figure out why would you follow them? Oh man. Is that, were there any other ones you were going to read?
No, that's okay. It.
All right.
Short and sweet.
All right, so these came from Cubs.com. I think it was on, I don't remember what the article was about, something about the future or something like that. So the first commenter says, this year is just the beginning. It's not the finished product. The Cubs have flipped the page from rebuilding into competing. The kids must continue to improve. There will be some bumps along the way, and the front office will continue to add veteran players to the mix. When Theo took over, the goal was to be good year in and year out. Well, it takes some time to get to the point where you can be good, especially with the club he took over. That time has finally come, and everyone should be excited with the progress and look forward to the year where the Cubs actually have a chance to win. So enjoy 2015 and the years to follow. Go Cubbies. So here's the response to that. Pray tell. What is...
Pray tell. It's already an incredible start. Like, is this guy a Puritan?
I knew I wasn't going to be able to get past that. Oh, man.
Sorry. Pray tell, Corey. What's the rest
trying to pull it together. Okay. I'll start from the beginning. Pray tell, what is this the year? Oh, God. Sorry.
like it's Judge Danforth from the Salem witch trials or something.
Okay, let me try this again. All right.
You still have to read it from the beginning.
Okay, I know I do. Oh, okay. Pray tell, what is this the year the beginning of for you? A new mattress? Underwear walks on the beach? You will no longer take out the garbage? Those flies around your head are there for a reason. And then somebody responds with, it amuses me you take any enthusiasm for the Cubs so personally that you have to respond to it with fairly random personal insults. And then the flexor comments on to that person and says, oh, Laura, what is insulting about that response? Did your thong ride up too high? So I found...
did your thong...
I found that this whole exchange to be awesome because each comment, well, on top of the pray tell, which had me like instantly, is that in this first comment, he mentioned underwear walks on the beach. And then in the second one, he brings up a thong. So I think there's some repressed something or other going
underwear
on. With
fixation. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. I love this segment. All right, well, that does it for this week. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon contributors, and a special thanks to the Hall of Fame level contributors: Jeremy, Dallas, Dave, Charles, Jane, Cass, Tony, Shane, Michael, John, Brian, Andrew, Richard. And thanks to those of you that pledge at the associate producer level: Matthew, Anthony, Joshua. And we have another associate producer to add, Ryan from Florida. And Ryan is flying up from Florida for our bus trip, so that's pretty awesome. We have added 5 other new Patreon supporters in the last few weeks, thanks to Mitch from Anawan, Illinois, Rory from San Francisco, who we met at Cubs Convention and gifted us the bottles of Pliny that we will be consuming next weekend, and Richard from Florida. So Florida's coming in strong, and also coming in strong, the Netherlands. We have 2 new contributors from the Netherlands this week, Allison and Moni. And so thanks to them. Allison got a hold of me today and explained that, you know, they live over there, and I think she said she's seen one person wearing a Cubs shirt over there. So,
well, one of your 3 co-hosts is almost entirely Dutch. That would be me.
Wow. When you said they were, when I texted you that and you said, yeah. I said from the Netherlands, you said they're my people. And then I thought, like, maybe you actually knew them or something.
No.
I was like, oh, those are Kurt's people.
That my, all 4 of my grandparents are Dutch.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. How'd you get such a nice tan?
Why are you 6'5" with pale skin and light hair?
Oh, man. So thanks to everyone that supports IVMV through Patreon. If you would like to support this podcast, keep it free, and help us with improving your listening experience, you can do so by going to patreon.com/IVMV. There are different pledging levels. The pledging levels start as low as just $1 a month, which may seem like nothing to you and not worth doing, but trust us, it helps us tremendously, and every dollar helps. There are perks at every level: IVMV posters, pint glasses, Google Plus Hangouts during games, all sorts of stuff. So you can check it all out at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. And also, if you support us on Patreon and you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the IVMV Patreon supporters Facebook group. So next week will be the baseball card episode, but we'll discuss any Cubs news that happens between now and then. Thank you for listening to this week's episode, and until next week, go Cubs!